Okay, here we go. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Hearts there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was bought the pride to me. There my burden so found liberty. The second verse or the fourth verse? Let's do the second. Have I committed? I don't even know. By God's word and blessed by sin, did I tremble? Then I trembled at the life's birth, till my guilt was so imploring to Calvary. Mercy there was great, grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Thank you.
think that's what he wants to do right now. So sometimes we take that you know, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Majority of us are heaven bound, right? I mean, if something happens, I'm straight into heaven. I think majority of you are too. But I tell you what, I think he's talking about more than that in that song, that the Savior is right here. He wants us to disconnect from some of the stuff that has just been, some of you brought U-Hauls with you today. You know what I mean? A lot of baggage that you're carrying along with you. Just come to him. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning. I think it's going to be really, really good. But appreciate you being here. We're going to have the deacons come up forward. Before we do that, I'm just going to grab something here. Got some prayer requests. Just want to lift some people up. And of course, we want to always lift up Jesse and Erlene and what's going on there. And Doris Allen and Jean Pritchard. She's still having a little trouble with her legs. The Charlies, we got Charlie that needs to, you know, is dealing with what he's dealing with. And let's see, well, who else? Oh, this here is from Helen. She said her cousin Randy is very critical, has some heart problems and other problems. So pray for Randy and also his son Christopher. Just pray for them. So his name's Randy and the son's Christopher. I'm missing some other people. Oh, Gloria and Jay. Gloria is on the list for a kidney, and want to pray for them. Anybody else that just want to shout out real quick without?
Thomas Roth.
Okay, Thomas Roth. Okay, yeah.
My cousin Pam with myeloma, she took a fall this week.
Oh, my, okay.
She spent the day, Thursday, in the hospital.
So okay.
She started her treatment, and now this.
Okay. Remember your cousin?
Cousin Pam.
Okay.
Daughter, Judy Sugar.
Yeah. Vivian's daughter, Judy?
Yeah.
Okay.
She
we'll let you.
Work.
Okay. We'll be praying for Pam. Judy. Okay.
Kaylee.
Anybody else?
Kaylee.
Oh, Kaylee. Yeah, absolutely. Keep praying for Kaylee. What's going on back here? We want to pray for all the workers and everything that's going on back. If you haven't been back there lately, it's looking, we're getting closer. Each week you're starting to notice a difference. And we're down to the point of where we don't have that many, you know, some of the crews are being, we're punch carding their work. So it's getting good. So it's getting exciting. We're getting closer. So pray for that. If we can have the deacons please come forward. And we're going to ask Gilbert when we pray for the offering, and just grab two plates over there. And Gilbert, I'd ask if you would bless just the ones that have been mentioned. And I know there's some people that I forgot, so I apologize. When you get to my age, I can't remember how to get to the church. And of course, Vivian's going, are you kidding?
What are you talking about?
I know, I'm just a young pup. Okay. Gilbert, if you would, bless you as you give and the ministries they go to and just your support and your love. And you can continue. You people are the most giving people in the world, and I just love you to death. So Gilbert, if you would, lift him up and the offer.
Amen.
Let them know. Let them know. Calvary, he would go.
Bye. am I the only one sweating? I don't understand that. All right. It's too hot to wear a jacket, so I went with a half jacket. Got the sleeves off and just did the best. So get in your Bibles, if you would, while I catch for breath. We're still live, Curtis, and everything's going good there, okay? Hope everybody sang at home. Singing here was pretty good. Y'all sound good? He only wished that he can control his father as well as he can control the sound. Well, the one person that I have never, believe it or not, preached on. Are you ready for this? Jonah. I have never preached a sermon on Jonah in my 40 years. Of preaching. Never. We're going to look at Jonah in the next couple weeks. And so just get in Jonah. And this is going to be one of those that you're going to want to write down in the margin kind of some ideas, because the phone is going to ring today, because God has a call just for each of you. And you know, we look at Jonah and his life, and we just kind of assume that Jonah was one of those special people that God had a purpose for and a calling for, and the rest of us just get to be spectators. We just get to kind of sit back and watch and see how he messed it up, and you know, just hope and pray that we never get close enough to a fish big enough to eat us like him, and all of that. We've heard this story in Sunday school time after time, and Luann probably in school, you guys talk about this because this is a fun one, and Esther, you probably taught this in Sunday school, and it's just a fun story. But we're going to look at the whole chapter 1 today, and you go, oh my, Greg, can you do that? Can you really handle 17 verses? No, there's no way, so we'll probably end up part 2-ing them next week. But I got about 3 more I think I'm going to do on this. But first of all, I want to let you know that each person in this place right now that's listening, and it's listening online, that God has a purpose. God has a role. God has a call just for you. There's a reason that you were created, not just to be the beautiful people that you are and to wear the clothes that you wear and fix your hair the way you do. Not just that. God has a purpose and a call, a destiny, and a reason that he created you to begin with. And we talked about this time and time again. And as we get closer to this thing being open and us actually barreling through that wall so we can walk right from this building into the next one, I'm kind of getting excited, because we're going to need each person to find out what your call is. So when the phone rings this morning, I want you to answer, because God's calling you to do something. What would that be? What if I went right around the room, and I won't, because it just put the fear of God in some of you. Went around and said, what's your call? What's your call? What's your call? How is God asking you to be part of his plan? What is your piece of the puzzle? Okay? Write down Ephesians 2:10, because it says, God made each of us what we are. Whether you like me or not, God created me. And God has used all the stuff that I have gone through in my life to get me to the point today where God can use me to the maximum of what he has in store for me. So I can't just say, oh God, I'm just so mad at you for that first 17 years. I can't do that. I got to say, okay, what did I learn in that process? What can I use to be able to reach other people that are going through similar situations? Everything that you have dealt with in work, in school, in relationships, in friendships, economically, and I can do all these different roles that you've had, God has allowed you to experience those so you can turn them in to something that he can use when he makes that call to you. Okay, so I want you to catch this. This is for I know what majority of you do. You start zoning out and you go, oh, this is for the deacons. Oh, please. Do you know who they are? I'm teasing. That's a joke. No. it's not just for them. Yeah, they have been set apart. That was a lifetime ordination. You have been set aside to serve. Not everybody's called to do that. And they are called, they are not called to do a lot of the stuff that you're called to do. So this is, put yourself, don't elbow your next door neighbor if you're not being socially distancing from them. And try to get them to listen up. This is, take it personal. This is for you, okay? And we're going to spend the next 25 minutes on this. So just hang with me. In John 17, there's a verse that goes like this. In the same way the Father gave me a mission in the world. Okay, this is John. Who's talking here? Let's just break this down in the Sunday school lesson. In the same way that the Father gave me a mission in the world, who would that be? Jesus is talking. So he's saying, huddle up. He's saying, in the same way that we know what Jesus' role was, right? We know. We celebrate it. Matter of fact, you know it so well, you give gifts to other people during his birth. We color eggs during his resurrection time that we celebrate. So you know who I'm talking about. He says, in the exact same way that my Father has given me something that I was to do on a mission, in the exact same way, let's finish the verse, I give you a mission to the world. John 17, 18. There's nobody alive who doesn't have a mission that God created them for in life. Right there, Jesus is making a blanket statement that no matter who you are, where you are, what you look like, how old you are, what part of town you live in, what kind of education you have, what kind of talents you think you may have or not. You know what an average person supposedly has? You can look this up online to see if you disagree with me, because we know that everything on the internet is real and true, right? Okay. So I was searching the internet just to make sure, because we know it's all true, right? An average person has 600 talents, and half of you will say, I can't do nothing. An average person has 600 things that they have been gifted with. He's not asking you to do all of them. He's asking you to do the one thing that he has just for you. Because Jesus is saying, if I had a purpose, and for instance, if Jesus' purpose was to take out the garbage at the synagogue and not fulfill the role that he was brought here for, we would be hopeless, right? We wouldn't have a savior. He had that focus point, that laser point of what he was here for. He said, as surely as I have this calling, you're going to get a calling too. You're going to get something that I want to do just for you, and you need to do, because I have people that's in your circle that you're going to make an impact for. And I love that verse. Mark chapter 8 is a verse that says, if you insist on living for yourself, you're going to lose your life. It's not about you. This world and everything. You know, how many people know people? Nobody here. Nobody that's listening online, but people that we know think that this is them and this is the world and the whole world revolves around them. Anybody else know people like this? Yeah. Anybody have them in your family? Okay. No. Oh, no. What's supposed to raise your hand, huh? But sometimes we do, but it's not about that. It's not about that. It says right there, if you insist on living for yourself, you're going to lose your own life. Yes, we will eventually get to Jonah. So hang with me. I want to, what do they call that? When they out here, when they're working on the walls out here, before they put the final coat of paint on, they do all that junk underneath. Priming. And then they do that taping, texturing. So I'm priming you up right now, okay? We're fixing to get to the coat of painting that we're here for. But I'm just kind of giving you a prime, okay? okay? To make sure that we're geared up, that this isn't something that I just pulled out of my hat and go, oh, let's see if I can make the people feel guilty today and get them to do something. That's not the purpose. I'm trying to get into Jonah here of how we can answer God's call for us. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says this, the most important thing, and this is Paul talking, is that I complete my mission, the work that Jesus Christ gave me to do. So Paul was smart enough to figure it out. The most important thing in my life is to do that. What is your most important thing? What has God given you that is in, I won't get goofy here. Let's just get basic. In the top five in your things to do, what's one thing that he's given you that's in your top five that would go along with Paul? The most important thing is that I complete my mission of what I'm supposed to do in my life. What would it be? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you what the call looks like here in just a second when I actually get to Jonah. I hope you found it. If you haven't found Jonah, please get help and look at it up in the index, okay? I won't go there because it's too long, but I do want to get to Jonah, chapter 1. Look here. I'm getting rid of two pages just because I don't want to lose you. Jonah is considered a minor prophet in the Bible. That doesn't mean he's insignificant. That means that he has a minor portion of Scripture. And if I would have given a $100 bill to anybody that knew how many chapters was in Jonah, I don't know how many I would have gave out this morning, but how many are there?
Four.
Okay, there's four. You've been cheating. Not cheating. There's only four. So like I'd like to do is each week I'm going to take one. It'll only be a four-week thing. But this will turn into a Ruth. And end up, maybe I'll get done by Christmas. So just hang with me because I know what I did to Ruth. It's just unbelievable. I took 3 months on one verse. So I'll try not to do that. But I know I won't get through today because I have 10 points. But I want to get through a few of them. So he's a minor prophet. And the first thing I want you to write down. To answer the call of God will always come from Tiffany. God's word. Always. It will always come from God's word. You say, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. Jonah 1:1. Okay? Jonah 1:1. And we'll look at it in several different versions here. Oh, it's the same way in this one, too. Doesn't have to take a brain surgeon. Write this in your margin. It always comes from God's word. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Boom. Right there. If you're a pastor and you read scripture, you go, oh, wait. That's a sermon point. God's word came to Jonah. That's how our call will come too. It won't come from your husband in the middle of the night whispering in your ear. It won't come from something that you try to understand from a mantra or you read a self-help book from Barnes & Noble. It won't come from a family member that's trying to get you to do something. So what you really need to do, and kids, it won't come from your mom and dad trying to say, hey, this is what you ought to do and you better. It'll come from God. It always comes from God. Now, yeah, the parents can be able to help and assist in that. I'm not knocking that. But if it doesn't agree with God's word, you're putting them on a road of misery for the rest of their life. How many have changed careers 50,000 times? Me? Before I was a freshman or sophomore in college, I changed majors like 6 times. Music major with the Southwest Baptist University in Bonner, Missouri, to be a music major. Halfway through the first semester, God told me, this ain't for you. And I already told you why, because I was trying to add things into Beethoven's music, and they wouldn't let you do that. Like, I don't like this stuff. Then I went to business management. Then I went to radiologic technology. I was going to be an x-ray technician. Then I almost finished court reporting school. I was going to be a court reporter. Can you imagine me being the one not saying a word in the courtroom? Oh, that would have been miserable. I would have taken the mask off or whatever and said, hey, wait, lawyer, you should have talked about this. You would have won the case if you listened to me. Or no way. And I kept trying and changing. And every time I tried, it was like, wait. And God said, Greg, I got what I want you to do. Watch me. Follow me. It will always come in God's word. God has made you. Don't want to offend anybody. Very unique. Just look around. We're unique, right? But he's made you and he's wired you each in a very special way. Not just because he has a wild sense of humor, but because he wants to use you in a way that he's wired you so you can make the most positive and powerful impact for his calling when he calls. When he calls. And the phone's ringing. Because he's called you a long time ago. Some of us are ignoring that. I think it's a T-Mobile commercial right now where a guy's on the phone and he's talking to the guy about the data coverage. And he's on the phone and the phone comes up, the mom's calling. And he tells the guy, hey, please hit decline. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to take that call. You ever been there, done that? Yeah. Tell you what. If I could give one more call for my mom. All those times, like, oh, I don't want to have time for her. We do that to God. We do that to God. And yeah, it hurts now, but that illustration with what I would do for my mom, just to hear her voice again. Can you imagine the regret we're going to have one day when we're standing in front of our Lord Jesus Christ? And he's going to say, great, I called you. You hit decline time after time after time. The regret that we're going to have. He's made you, let me get uniquely wired for exactly what he wants you to do. And he says right here, one day God spoke his word to Jonah. Number two. And this may be what scares you all to death. When God makes the call, he's going to, if he hasn't already, and he just has speed dial on some of your calls are coming through all the time, it will always require you to have a step of faith. It's not the easiest thing that comes into your life that you think today, oh, that's easy. That's the one that pays the most. Oh, that's the one that's most comforting for me. That's the one that gives me the most praise or the most publicity or the most pats on the back. I'll do that. Some of you may just be, I tell you what, Greg, afterwards, I don't want you to come up to me. God has called me. Oh, yeah, okay, what is it? I am to be the official coffee taster on Sunday mornings and donut taster to make sure they're fresh. Thanks for playing. There's no step of faith. That's called a comfort zone that you want to fall into. And how many times have we fallen into those comfort zones in our life? We've fallen into the things that we kind of just, oh, well, that's easy. Every time when God calls you and you pick it up and he says, I have, and it's confirmed in God's word, it's going to require you to take a step of faith. He knows you can do it. And it's going to stretch your faith a little bit. But he has that for you. He says, Jonah, I want you to get up off your backside and go. That's the Williams version. Don't look for that in your Bible. It's amazing. Everybody went, that's in there? No. That was a paraphrase. And go to where? Nineveh. And Jonah's going, oh, no, Nelly. I don't think so. It took a step of faith. Okay? So that's what I want you to have in your margin too. When God calls. Number three. It will not only be confirmed in God's word, because that's where it's going to come from. It will not only require you to have a step of faith, but it's always, always, always going to help other people. No ifs, buts, or ands. It's not for you. It's not for your comfort. It's for you to be able to help somebody else. So everything that's happened to you in life, every bad card that has been dealt to you in life, and you go, what? I didn't do anything to deserve this. Another one? And some of you lately have gone, another one? And another one? And you got a full house of bad cards. You just sit there going, wow, there's a reason for that. Because God says, get through this. Because I'm going to have you use those to help somebody else. That's the purpose of them. Now, Jonah did this. God's given him a mission to help other people. Why? Because God loves people. He has us to fulfill his role. Learning from our experiences in life is sometimes a lot better if we realize we're going to be able to help somebody else in the same predicament one day. How many people have gone through stuff and go, I'll tell you what, I would prefer not to have gone through this to help people. I could have read a book about it. It's different. It's different, Jack, if you would be doing your Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey stuff, and you were so crazy in debt, you never used it. And you just kind of stand up and go, well, this is what it says. And somebody asks you, well, Jack, how did it work for you? Oh, I don't know. I don't do this stuff. Your credibility, right out the window. There's a different wiring, a different passion. When you say, I've been there. I've done that. I know I feel your pain. I know I feel your hurt. I know I've experienced it. But let me tell you how you can get through it. Look at me. Look at Jack or whoever, whatever situation it is. I got through it. And there was those dark nights. I never thought I would. And you all have dark nights, do you not? And the things of earth will go strangely dim. When you give it to him, when you understand that there's a process here that I'm putting you through, and there's a working ability to be able to go through that and the functionality of the things that I learn. And sometimes I'm not knocking anybody, and in lots of cases, so I don't want to say this, but a lot of us go through things time after time after time after time. And if we would just learned it the first time, we wouldn't have had to go through it five more. And we're going to see that a little later on in these 10 steps, because sometimes it ends up being a lesson that we need to learn. And once we accomplish it, it's going to be okay. So it's always going to help others. I'm looking at the clock, doing okay. I think I may make it to 4 or 5. He says in that verse 2, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and tell them, I see all the evil happening there, and I'm not going to ignore it. Can you imagine God giving you the call? Go tell people they're sinners. Who wants to jump in on that boat? Who wants to volunteer to be that communicator? Go tell them I'm the one that is going to tell everybody that God sees what you're doing, sin or die. I mean, repent or die. Whatever that is, he's going to tell you that he hates it. I don't want to do that. But that's what his calling was. Get up and go. Tell them I see the evil that's happening there, and I'm not going to ignore it. Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 9:17 says, God is a God of forgiveness, graciousness, merciful, slow to become angry, full of patient love and mercy. He does not abandon people in their sin. Now, I've been here 48 minutes and didn't ask for an amen, but he doesn't abandon people in their sins. You all ought to be saying amen, because I was one of those. I am one of those. And I don't know what you've been doing this week, but you are too. We all are. We all have that. He doesn't let us loose. He doesn't abandon us. He gives us that grace. So in that, we need to say we're helping other people, not just to point out what they're doing wrong, but to offer them the salvation. The salvation of telling people. And that's kind of why I sang that song earlier. Let them know. Folks, there are people out there in this world right now that are experiencing so much pain and hurt. They need somebody to tell them God is merciful. In the middle of this crazy world we're living in, God loves you. He cares for you. You probably see parents every day that walks in with their U-Hauls behind their Cadillac Escalades or whatever they're driving. Nice cars, nice clothes. It's not about that. It's about life. God loves you. So that purpose of that call is always going to be to help somebody else. And you can't outgive God. Every time. And I wish that I could go through and scroll and read the dozens of emails that I get every week from people. Counseling a person right now that a court assigned to me. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I had the authority to do that. But they assigned this sex offender to me to try to help. The first week I'm talking to him, I hear that he's offended, not just one. And so, can you put it on your hands for me? Will it fit on one hand? The people that you've hurt, will it fit on two hands? No. Oh, my lands, we have an issue. Lord, help me. Because that's hard to be in that role. I want to be in the role of the people that's been hurt. I like bandaging wounds. It's a different heart of knowing you're the one that's caused the damage. I got to help you too. Yeah, God says you got to help them. They need just as much help as the people that have been hurt. The person that hurts you, they needed help. Your dad, your mom, your wife, your husband, teacher, whatever, that's brought the most pain to you in your life, they need the help too. And God is saying, I want you to be that vehicle of love, hope, and support to everybody, because we are designed to help other people. I think I have time for number four. Write this down. My calling from God will scare me at first. It'll put the fear in you, just like it did Jonah. It will get you into that same triple F's that people put four F's mode of when you get in anxiety. It'll put you in that flight mode where I'm out of here. You're calling me to do that? I'm out of here. What did Jonah do? Flight mode. I'm gone. You ain't going to be able to find me. I'm going to go so far away, you will never be able to even find my zip code. Ain't no way. Or the fight mode. I'll show you. I'll become something absolutely opposite of what you think I need to be, so you can't use me. And then you get in that fright mode. Where you're just like, this scares me to death. Let me tell you. When God makes the phone call to you, if you haven't got the call yet, you're going to be scared. But I want to let you know, he doesn't just call and then hang up on you. Congratulations, this is your calling. Boom. He will give you everything you need. Matter of fact, chances are you've already got it. It's already in you. It's already been wired in you. It's already been designed in you. It's in your DNA already. The fright mode. When you get the call from God, it's going to scare you. Now on the last leg, got to stop here. Put a little mark right there for Jonah 2, 1, verse 2. Instead of 17 verses today, I made it through 2. I'm just glad I made it out of one. Where are you? What, I'm done or what? Gilbert, what's the rest of it? Where are you in hearing God? You can go out and get every book, every pastor that has a book series from John MacArthur or David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, Charles Swindoll, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, every one of them that write books and pump out books quicker than Carter's Got Pills. They must have somebody helping them because I can't even get through another one I've been working on. Has done How to Hear God book. How to Hear God. You don't need a book on that. Answer the call. Answer the call. Look in God's Word because it will jump out at you. Where are you at in this? I'm going to leave you with that when you come back next week. We're going to try to finish this up. I hate to lie right here, but I'm going to try to finish it. But there's a lot more that we need to throw in there because there's some different directions that happens. And we know the story, right? Because we went to Sunday school. There's a big old fish. It ends up coming up and eating this guy. We're going to tell you how that happened, too. Matter of fact, I got a Polaroid. I don't. We're going to tell you how and the impact of that and why he did it that way to get Jonah's attention. What's it going to take to get yours? Appreciate you coming in this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer. And if you need somebody to pray with you, need to hear his call, if you say, hey, wait, I think I got a calling from him. I don't know what to do with it. As we build this family and as all the people start coming back, because we've got a whole bunch more than this, but when they all start coming back and they feel safe, we're going to need each of us on that call. Because I still believe there's going to be people that need help. On the other side of COVID, there's going to be 5,000 times more people that need the help. There's people now sitting at home, not knowing how they're going to get through it. They don't want to be at home anymore. So we need to be equipped to answer the call to help other people. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that that word is always the vehicle that you use for us to be able to find out what that call is. Lord, put it inside of us a craving to dive into the Word, not just to read a chapter and then close it, but maybe just to read a verse and go, is that talking to me? Whatever it is. Lord, show us why we are here. How are you going to use us? What calling you have for me and for each of us? Lord, thank you for the day. Everything that we do this morning, we want to glorify you in your name alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you all for being with us on FaceTime and BBS Radio. Come back next week and join us right here for another edition. Tonight, I want to let you all know, you will not want to miss Breaking the Silence. We have a Christian man that is a Christian keyboardist. One arm. It is an absolute amazing. Todd Waits will be the guest on Breaking the Silence. And he said, I'll come on if I can talk about my faith. And I said, oh, by the way, I would love to have that. So you will not want to miss that. And matter of fact, get on the Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness, and you watch the video that he just recorded on children. So it's beautiful. It will touch your heart tonight. Tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time on Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have a good week. Thank you. We'll see you next week right here for another edition of Faith Springs Live, 10 o'clock. God bless you. Have a good day.